Good morning. This is Michael Carey, your host of Talk of Alaska here in Anchorage. Our theme today is the sinking economy. That's the title that was handed to me. We hope that we can provide you with some words of optimism, but we are going to talk about the problems faced by the national economy and how they might affect Alaska. We're going to take a look at some of the major sectors of the Alaska economy, banking, oil, tourism, and retail to some degree. And we have two guests here who are experts who are going to be providing us with some perspective.
The program is underwritten in part by
BP. Giving back to the community is a priority because so many at BP call Alaska home.
Thank you again, once again. I'm Michael Carey, your host here of Talk of Alaska at 1-800-478-8255. As I started to say, we have two guests. First, Neil Fried, who's an economist with the Alaska Department of Labor. Good morning, Neil.
Good morning, Michael.
And Mark Edwards, who's an economist at North Rim Bank here in Anchorage. They will be joining us to give us some perspective. And for callers, we're at 1-800-478-8255. Or 1-800-478-TALK. First of all, Neil, why don't you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your background and experience here in Alaska.
Well, I've lived in Alaska since 1973. I started, believe it or not, this job in 1978, so I've been at this job for a little over 30 years watching the comings and goings of Alaska's economy.
That's great. And Mark, you're a local person, I was going to say boy, but...
Well, I am young. Thank you for the invitation to be here. I was born and raised here in Anchorage and graduated East Anchorage High School. I currently work at Northrim Bank. I'm a vice president and commercial loan officer, and I also am the bank's economist. I've lived here most of my life, except for the times I've left to go to college and graduate school, and certainly love Alaska and love talking about the economy.
And your grandfather's a distinguished businessman. Right?
Yes, my grandpa and grandma own the Lucky Wishbone, George and Peggy Brown, 55 years in the... restaurant
About
business.
Half the listeners in Anchorage wish they had that relationship. Once again, this is Michael Carey, your host. We're going to talk about the economy at 1-800-478-8255. And let's start with Neil Fried. Neil, why don't you give us an overview, which is essentially the question, how are we doing? And this comes on a day when the stock market in particular is having a lot of trouble back in New York.
Well, Michael, if you're asking me how are we doing when we talk about Alaska, I'd say right now, as we speak, we're doing pretty well. In fact, strangely enough, given all the bad news we've heard nationally, Alaska in 2008 had a remarkably good year, you know, in almost every sense of the word, from an income standpoint, from a wage, from an employment. You know, we ended 2008 on a very, very strong note. I mean, the big question, and, you know, it's very different. I mean, you know, the American economy has been losing jobs since December of 2007. And we haven't had a month of job loss yet, and we even know what January of this year looks like. So as far as background goes and the near past, we've been on a very different boat than much of the rest of the country has been.
Mark, you concur, or you want to take a little bit different look?
I definitely concur. I would say the overriding phrase I keep hearing is we're fortunate to be in Alaska, and I think that it's nice to hear Neil say that as well. I agree 2008 was an exceptional year. We saw per capita income grow through the third quarter up 8%. We've seen slow but steady job growth and population growth in the economy, which keeps the economic base solid. We saw tremendous growth in the oil sector in both jobs and the value of the production of the oil when prices were so high. So overall, we were stable as the rest of the country was starting into recession in the second half of 2008. So overall, Alaska has weathered the storm quite well, and we are doing good so far as we start 2009, at least relatively to the rest of the country. We're doing very good.
Neil, are we virtuous? Are we lucky? Or do we just have the right mix of the economy? What happened?
Well, I think our economy is different. Virtuous. There might be a little bit of that, and you know, I think in most cases, you know, we're pretty lucky right now because our economy is different. That's not to say that we didn't feel any of this in 2008, because we certainly did feel some of it. But you know, when we look at the hard numbers, the stories are very different so far.
Once again, this is your host, Michael Carey, at Talk of Alaska. We're looking at the Alaska economy and what we might expect in the future. We're at 1-800-478-8255 or 1-800-478-TALK. I'm here with Neil Fried of the Alaska Department of Labor and Mark Edwards of the North Rim Bank. Mark, picking up on what Neil just said about the good year that we had, can you give us any specifics from sectors that did exceptionally well or better than expected?
Sure. I guess to start, overall, I think one of the things that stimulated the economy in the second half of the year was our above-average permanent fund dividend checks as well as the energy rebate. That really helped consumers pay down debt and really gave us a cash infusion of a couple $1 billion when you add in the fiscal federal stimulus checks. And that really helped the economy and especially the retail sector in the second half of the year. I think the other interesting thing that differentiates us from the national economy is that our home prices did not decline. We saw in Anchorage the average sales price decline only 0.4%, where we've seen anywhere from 10 to 35% declines in different regions of the U.S. So we had a stable home market, and that was partly due to our banking system here being very stable in Alaska. We didn't have specifically at North Rim exposure to subprime mortgages, and we also are considered above the federal averages of a well-capitalized bank. So here locally, I think our financial sector, which was a big part of the federal problem, did not have serious problems, and therefore our housing market remained very stable. So we've seen some slowdown in the number of homes sold, but overall the prices of our houses are stable. Therefore, people have more equity in their homes. They can borrow against the equity in their homes. They can use the permanent fund checks to pay down debt. And overall, those two major factors helped stabilize our economy, and they didn't cause the economic problems that we saw in other parts of the U.S.
Okay. Once again, thank you very much, Mark. This is Michael Carey here with Talk of Alaska. We're at 1-800-478-8255. If you're in Anchorage, you can call by dialing 550-8422. I'll say that again, 550-8422. Neil, what are the proverbial cliche is the clouds on the horizon. And some of the clouds have already made their way to people's mailboxes in the form of their 401k reports or other retirement reports. And there's been a lot of publicity about the problems with investments and Wall Street. But perhaps you could tell us what you see as the other potential difficulties that might lie ahead.
Well, you know, the nation's had, you know, five recessions since 1970. We've had two recessions. But the last three national recessions have been, you know, pretty light. There's been very little depth to them, and so we've sort of affected almost all effects from those previous recessions. The difference this time is this recession and the rest of the country is much more severe than those previous three recessions, and therefore that's one of the reasons why we think it is already beginning to affect us. The other thing is what's happened to the price of oil. That's a big change from just, you know, a quarter ago. You know, things are just changing so quickly. It's, you know, there were four forecasts prepared for Alaska for 2009, for example.
You mean by the state or it's...
By the state, by banks. You know, there was the largest number of forecasts I've ever seen for the state. And they all predicted losses for 2009. When I'm talking about losses, I'm talking about employment losses. But they varied from 700 to 6,000. I mean, tremendous variation when you look at the forecasts. And, you know, I think what happened was things really began to change when oil prices started to fall. I think that if oil prices were still at that $70, $80 area, I think most people might have agreed that we could have maybe skated by, even though we sort of felt some of the effects.
Okay, let's get our first caller in here. It's Pam, and she wishes to join us. To comment, question, please. Once again, we're at 1-800-478-8255 or in Anchorage, 550-8422. Pam, it's your opportunity.
Thank you very much, and good morning. My question is that just from what you all were describing, doesn't sound like the same economy I'm familiar with in rural Alaska. And even, you know, with the number of unemployed coming every day, the state seems a little overwhelmed. And so I don't see the same kind of economy. And I just, you know, are we don't have those numbers or just what?
Let's let Mark comment on it. It might be a good place here, Mark, to bring in the notion of there are regional economies in Alaska and what that means to us as Alaskans.
Sure. Well, first of all, when we're talking about the economy, we're talking about in aggregate of all the people in the state. So these numbers do average out, and certainly some parts of the state are hurting more than others. And generally what we're talking about is the strength of the Alaska economy relative to the U.S. economy. So even though it's slow and steady growth and relatively flat population and income growth, it still is better than the rest of the nation when you put it in comparative terms. But that's not to say then even as you break down the Alaska economy into certain regions, we see population loss in Southeast or in rural areas or much higher unemployment levels in Western Alaska, whereas we still see a strong growth in the retail area and throughout the rail belt, and certain sectors of Alaska are doing relatively better than their counterpart in the rest of the nation. So you can break down an economy into many different levels and get all the way down to the individual or the micro level, and some individual person may be doing better or worse off, but what we're talking about, I guess, is an aggregate of the entire state numbers.
Thank you very much. Oh, go ahead, Ms.
Oh, I was just going to ask that if it sounds like a lot of what you're seeing is good numbers are new people moving into the state to certain regions, and wouldn't it be a cause of concern for the next 10 years even if we're not getting an accurate picture of the variation within the state as a whole?
Neil, you want to give that a shot?
No, I would agree. I mean, there are various – within the state, there are various economies, and some economies and some areas of the state are actually losing population right now, parts of Southeast, parts of rural Alaska, and other parts are gaining population. So the story does vary dramatically. I mean, there really is a diverse economic story out there. Obviously, for example, we look at energy prices. Rural Alaska is still feeling those very high energy prices from a year ago or even 6 months ago, whereas urban Alaska is feeling that much less so. So, yes, I mean, there are – I think it's you're making a very important point that there are different stories out here, and some of those can get lost when we're just looking at these big numbers.
Okay. Once again, this is Talk of Alaska. I'm your host, Michael Carey. I'm here with Neil Fried of the State of Alaska Department of Labor and Mark Edwards, who's an economist at North Rim. We're at 1-800-478-8255 or locally here in Anchorage, 550-8422. Neil, I had a question for you. In reading about the Great Depression of the 1929 and the 30s, occasionally you'll come on to people who say, "What depression? Things were so bad in the 20s, I didn't even notice in the 30s. I'm sort of wondering, if rural Alaska is having these problems, aren't in many of these communities, aren't these long-term problems that are just not this year or last year, but have been for many, many years, whatever the causes?
Yeah, and I think that's a point well taken. I mean, many of these stories, for example, high unemployment or a lack of economic opportunity in Village Alaska has been with us, you know, for decades, or you could say in many cases forever. So in that sense, the story hasn't broadly changed, although there are changes like energy prices, or, you know, maybe next year things will ease up some because energy prices that may flow back, lower energy prices may flow back into and benefit rural Alaska. But yes, I mean, that's a point well taken.
One of the things that makes the Alaska economy unusual is the role of the federal government here. I think we'd be remiss if we didn't discuss that with our listeners and let them comment. Mark, you want to talk a little bit about federal money, the jobs it creates, and what we might have in the way of expectations. I mean, one of the things that we know our political leaders have been critical, most of them, of the Obama stimulus package for various reasons, the Republicans anyway. At the same time, it's presumably going to bring us close to $1 billion. So there's a mouthful there for you to comment on, but
sure.
Please take it away.
Yeah, it's quite a large topic. But first of all, I guess we should also mention that the military activity here in the state seems to be pretty stable, and that's also helping balance our economy. I think that our geopolitical location is not changing. We're still where we are in the world, and that helps keeps our economy stable. So the federal spending in military and also in infrastructure, it's pretty interesting now that bridges are now exciting exciting and a good way to stimulate the economy. And just a few months ago, they were bridges to nowhere. So that's been one change, I think, in the federal view of infrastructure development. And as you mentioned, there will be about $1 billion in money that we may see from this federal stimulus. I think the biggest concern is that it will be a short-run injection. I've heard some people call it a sugar rush or something that's going to burn away shortly. But right now, our current federal deficit is about $11 trillion. Costs about $500 billion a year just to finance that cost. So yesterday, we added nearly $1 trillion more in debt to the country. So the question is, was that money spent in a productive way, something that will lead to more efficiency or productivity in the country, or will it be just a larger debt that we'll take on? It's just important to remember that this isn't money that was coming out of a federal savings account. This is money that will be borrowed by our federal government. I think Alaska is a unique economy in the fact that we actually saved $4 billion last year. So we talk a lot about the decline in state revenue because of the drop in oil prices. And then we're looking at about $1 billion or $1.1 billion deficit, depending on how the rest of the fiscal year comes out. But that money will be covered by our savings account, which is very different from most other states in the country, as well as the federal government.
Correct me, the money that was saved, wasn't most of that put in the stock market and lost?
I think there was about $1 billion in losses, but the actual total money that we have in the Constitutional Budget Reserve, I believe, is around $7 billion. And then there's another $1 billion in the Statutory Budget Reserve and more in the Earnings Reserve. So
okay.
There's quite a bit of savings. So spending out of savings is different than borrowing.
That's right. And we may be one of the few states, I mean, I haven't done an analysis of this, maybe you guys have, who have, certainly California doesn't have a $41 billion. They're trying to pass a budget. Once again, this is your host, Michael Carey. We're talking about Alaska's economic future. We were given the title, The Sinking Economy, and we don't want to be that downbeat, but we're at 1-800-478-8255 if you would like to join us, or locally at 550-8422 here in Anchorage. Neil, you wanted to comment.
Yeah, I just want to say a few things about the federal government. I mean, in a sense, we're fortunate that the federal government is such a, right now, given the time. And one of the differences between us and most of the rest of the country is the federal sector is so large. You know, Scott Goldsmith recently estimated that 36% of the jobs created in the Alaskan economy were as a result of federal dollars. And we expect that federal stream to be, you know, relatively, strong or stable during the next couple of years, which is good news for the state. And, you know, talking about the stimulus package, I think it's real interesting. You know, between 2001 and 2002, federal dollars flowing into the state increased by $1.2 billion, which is basically what we're talking about as far as the stimulus package goes. So we've already we've already experienced, you know, the stimulus package before in this state. And that's sort of interesting because we can sort of look and see what kind of impacts it has had on us in previous years because of that unique experience.
So what were the impacts? What can you tell us?
Well, if you during a couple of those years when Scott was doing a lot of analysis on federal expenditures, one of the conclusions he came to is one of the main reasons our economy continued to grow. And, you know, Alaska's economy has been growing for 21 years, which only four other states can brag about. One of the reasons why it continued to grow during two or three of the years was because of the growth of federal expenditures. And without those, our economy may have gone flat. Just like during the last couple of years, if we hadn't had the strong growth in the oil industry, our economy may have gone flat.
Okay. Once again, this is Michael Carey at 1-800-478-8255, your host of Talk of Alaska. And here in Anchorage, you can reach us at 550-8422. Jackie is with us from Heidelberg, and Jackie, please join us, and if you have a question for our guest, have at it.
Hello, good morning. It's been since 1985 that they took our coal storage away from us, and that was our labor jobs for the women and men when they work on fish. What I'd like to see is smoke fishery going to our community to put people to work and teach them how to do the smokery fish. I also would like to talk on education. Education was supposed to help disabled people so we can get better jobs. If not, then what is the federal and state going to do to help us? and also that we travel 80 miles to get our oil and gas, and it has to be delivered to our home.
Jackie, I think I'm getting that life in Heidelberg these days is expensive and not necessarily easy. Is that it?
Yes, there's a lot of people don't have jobs, but my husband wrote a grant on the roads, the school, the water treatment, and education, and he never got money out of any of those. He did it out of his own way to help Heidelberg to get jobs for the people. As mayor, when he was there, I think it's very important that we should get help instead of all the places like Juneau and Anchorage. How come they don't help the smaller villages, you know?
Okay, thank you very much, Jackie. We also have Fred, who is in Barrow. We'll get another perspective from rural Alaska. I think we can here in just a minute. Once again, we're at 1-800-478-8255, Talk of Alaska, 550-8422 in Anchorage. I'm Michael Carey with Neil Fried and Mark Edwards. And Fred, if we could get him on from Barrow to join us with another perspective outside of Anchorage.
Oh, yes, definitely. Good morning there, Michael, and your people over there. I believe that the economy is strong. I believe that, we're above the status quo of rest of United States. You know, up here in Barrow, you know, we're in the field of oil and gas development and minerals, and it's very rich in that area up here, and that's where a lot of our economy comes from. And you know, from that economy branches off to different businesses and creates jobs, brings money to the table, and feeds families. And you know, we've been doing this for over 30 plus years now, and we still hunt our animals up here on the ocean, on the land, and we've coexisted, you know, with developers. And, you know, it's if rest of Alaska, you know, and Alaska is rich with resources, you know, if the native population can stop listening to outside people about their land and how they should protect it, you know, all they have to do is look at the North Slope and look at our means of development and how we have coexisted with our land, the animals in the ocean, on the land, and as well as the oil and gas, you know, and it's proof that, you know, development can be done responsibly and taken care of as well, you know, within the corporations, the villages, and such. And I believe that if rest of Alaska can just get off their high horse and join the bandwagon in development, I think, you know, there's a lot of opportunity for Alaskans to lead the rest of the country in this area, in this field, so that we can stimulate the economy and create jobs and bring back people to, you know, bring bread home to the families.
Thank you very much, Fred. Mark, you want to comment on what you heard from Fred?
Sure. Thank you very much for the perspective. It's definitely an important one, and certainly oil and gas development on the North Slope has led our state to a higher quality of living and higher standard of living since statehood, and so I appreciate your comments. Regarding that, I think that's one of the important things to point out on why our economy has been doing relatively better than the rest of the nation in 2008, especially while oil prices were high. But also we saw tremendous growth in oil field service sector jobs. I think it was about 1,100 job growth in that sector, which is the highest paying job profession in Alaska. And so growth in that area certainly helps. And recently there was some good news. Natural Resource Commissioner Irwin had a partial reversal of his position to stop Exxon from developing in Point Thompson. Their development plan for Exxon and their partners entails about $1.2 billion in spending over the next 6 years, and many of that is spent on those local oil field service companies. So that'll certainly trickle down into other parts of the economy. And this is really important for the progress of the natural gas pipeline, which could be the next large major development in our state. There's estimated about 9 trillion cubic feet of gas in Point Thompson. So that was real positive. We've also seen some lease activity in the Chukchi Sea and also the potential for development in NPRA. It seems like Anwar might be farther off. But overall, we have a really strong balance sheet. I like to look at it as a non-performing assets. We have certainly billions of dollars in resources in the ground, and it's a matter of whether or not we can monetize those assets and actually develop them. But I do agree with you. I think we have really good permitting and environmentally conscious oil development in our state, which is a world leader and has certainly raised the bar for environmental drilling in the energy sector around the world. So we should be proud of that, and we can continue to develop our energy resources. We'll certainly see a stronger economy in Alaska in the future.
Okay, before we go to the break, I'd like to ask Neil. Neil Fried, one of the things sometimes people have a hard time getting their hands around or their arms around is how the Alaska economy is tied in with the rest of the country. I mean, it's pretty obvious in the question of 401k plans, but what do failed real estate projects in Las Vegas and Florida and bad investment policies in lower Manhattan in a very small area with some very important people, obviously, or other investments that went bad in California, what do they have to do with us?
Well, yeah, I think there are a lot of things. I mean, even beyond the sort of real estate market, I mean, that was sort of the first kind of connection that we felt. You know, but like Mark said, our real estate market has been doing considerably better than the average, or at least those states that have been hit hard. But we felt it, and it's interesting because why have we felt it? Because, you know, when we look at the fundamentals of our economy during all these years, they've been quite strong. The last 3 years have been strong, so you would think that real estate would follow that. And I think typically it would, but obviously we did pick up on some of that psychology that was occurring elsewhere. But I think there's even much stronger connections. For example, and we're going to, I guess, talk about this a little later, but the confidence of the American consumer could have a big effect on this this summer when the visitor industry begins to open up. You know, what is that confidence factor going to be? The price of oil, it's tied to really how much economic activity is going on in this country and this world. And the reason why it's as low as it is today is because of what's happening in somewhere else in the country. Or international air cargo. Cargo for the first time, well, for the second time maybe in a long time, has been dropping off. And that has nothing to do with what we've done in Alaska. It's the fact is that we're shipping fewer goods between Asia, United States, and Europe. And we're feeling, you know, the effects of that. So there are lots of connections there.
Once again, this is Michael Carey. We're at this is Talk of Alaska, and we're talking about the Alaska economy and some of the problems it may be facing. I'm here with Neil Fried, who you just heard, and Mark Edwards. We're at 1-800-478-8255 or 550-8422. Mark, do you have any thoughts on what Neil said? And then I think we'll go to a break, and we have several callers that we'll take right after the break. Mark.
Sure. I just wanted to elaborate on the comments about the real estate market. It's important to really put this in relative terms again. The third quarter survey of the Mortgage Bankers Association came out, and it showed that Alaska actually had the lowest level of delinquent loans of all 50 states in the U.S. through the third quarter. And then we had the third lowest level of foreclosure activity in the state. This was a survey of about 90,000 residential mortgages in Alaska and several million nationwide. So we could look at that. I think the only other states that were comparable were Montana and North Dakota in that first to third ranking. We also had very low levels of subprime activities. Alaska didn't do the type of subprime loans at the same level as we saw in the rest of the nation. The subprime delinquencies in Alaska are 6%, whereas nationally they're 20%. And that's once again through the third.
Are there very many?
Well, 6% of the subprimes represent about 13% of all mortgages done in the state, which is also lower than the national average in the number of subprimes. So we're doing relatively better there. I think our banks, once again, didn't lower their origination standards like we saw in many of those areas where, say, in Florida and California and Arizona, where we were doing interest-only loans and a lot of adjustable rate mortgages, stretching things out to 40-year terms instead of 30-year terms. All these things helped increase the number of loans being done, but it certainly added more risk because of leverage. So what we saw, there was a real famous quote, a local speaker recently said that I really liked, and he was quoting Buffett and saying that when you look out in the ocean, you don't know who's swimming naked until the tide goes out. And this was actually a Warren Buffett quote, not a Jimmy Buffett quote. But what he meant by that was when people are operating on the margin with real close leverage, their rate of returns go up. But at the same time, when things go bad, they get hurt a lot more. So we were very well capitalized in our local banks here, whereas nationally we saw a lot of them that were working on the margin get hurt as soon as things started to turn around.
Okay, we're going to come back and hear from Carol, who is in Ketchikan. But first of all, let's take a break.
Talk of Alaska comes to you from APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network, and is made possible with support from Techcominco, creating jobs for Alaskans at the Red Dog and Pogo Mines.
Welcome back. This is Michael Carey, your host here at Talk of Alaska. I'm here with Neil Fried, a state economist, and Mark Edwards, who is an economist with the North Rim Bank. If you wish to join us, we're at 1-800-478-8255 or 550-8422. Carol in Ketchikan has been waiting patiently. Carol, please join us.
I'm here. One question I'd like to ask that I think somebody there might know is where is tourism on the list of our most important aspects of our economy? Like oil and gas is probably number one, and then fishing's in there. Where's tourism on that list? Is it two or three?
Well, I feel like I must have hired you to ask that question because that's what I wanted these guys to talk about right after the break. Let's start with Neil Fried and have him talk. Tell us something about what tourism's expecting, and just generally the overall health of tourism historically here.
Well, let me put things in perspective. I think that's a really good question, and ICER did a really nice job of talking about what sectors generate what jobs in the state. And, you know, we talked a little bit about this as the federal government being number one, oil being number two. And then as far as and their third was tourism at 11% was responsible for generating about 11% of the jobs in the state. And then seafood was right there with it. And then you had some other smaller ones like timber, mining, and personal assets. But that's sort of where it sort of fits in the pie.
The reason why I called was because of your comment earlier about the bridge to nowhere. And that's right here in Ketchikan was where that isn't. And the reason why it isn't is about tourism. Because if you put a bridge where they were talking about putting this bridge, it's across the Tongass Narrows. And the Tongass Narrows is where the cruise ships come through. And it would impede cruise ship traffic and tourism, which is the main industry here besides government jobs, in Ketchikan. And that is why it wouldn't go through. That was why it was a bad project. And there are bad projects that are being presented that, you know, that have been presented in the past that should not be funded. But that doesn't mean that Ketchikan doesn't need funding into its transportation infrastructure. We need new ferries. We need new mainline ferries, big ferries. Those kinds of projects are the projects that are needed here. We need ferries to go across to the Tongass Narrows, to the airport, in such a way that it doesn't impede our cruise ship traffic. And that's the reason why that project went down. It went down because it's bad for this location. Not that there's anything wrong with big projects. If you wanted to build a project where you would, improve transportation to Hyder or put a bridge off the back of the island and go to Canada, that would be different. But this project couldn't go forward because it would ruin the economy of this town.
Let's get Mark Edwards in here, and then we're going to go to Leif, who's been waiting for us in Kasilov.
Sure. I definitely agree. I think there's a lot to be studied in the Ketchikan Bridge. I was also referring to what we focus on, or at least I know a lot more here, as the Kinnickarm Bridge crossing to connect Mattsu and Anchorage that also was not funded through that same Bridges to Nowhere concept. So I do agree with you. Tourism has a very large reach. It has a broad reach into a lot of different cities, especially smaller communities. It makes a larger impact. I think the tourism forecast is unfortunately a little gloomier than the over statewide forecast. We see lower numbers of foreign tourists coming into the state and just lower levels of disposable income for the people who do come. We're seeing starting to see some declines in the reservation levels of the cruise ship industry, which has become very large. And so it probably will be a slower tourist season in 2009, and that is one of the areas that'll probably be more impacted. But I agree with you, infrastructure investment is an important part of it, and making sure that it fits into the local community is certainly important.
Okay, thank you very much, Mark Edwards. Let's go to Leif in Kasilov.
Hi. Hello.
Good morning.
Morning. I've got about three criteria that I'd like to ask if the economists include those in their findings, and I'll take my answer off the air. The first one is the sellers of wood for wood heat around here are going crazy. I mean, the business is booming. Of course, that could have two different causes. The second one is,
what kind of wood are they offering?
Well, there's only one wood around here, and that's dead spruce with a little bit. Well, there's a little bit of birch.
It burns real fast. That's one thing I know.
Well, it doesn't matter. It heats your home without paying for oil. I have yet to buy oil in 3 years.
Well, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
Okay. The second one is the oil industry has a lot of peripherals, people that they have on contract. And this is where I'm talking about neighbors that have been laid off, people that I personally know. I'm not talking about the cousin of a friend of a cousin, you know. There was something like 3 million in contracts canceled in this for the Kenai Peninsula by the big companies, but the people who are out of work are the people whose welding shops were on contract or something like that. And I wondered how much that gets into the estimates of our economy, or whether that's a hidden one. And then third, the real estate industry. I'm seeing for sale signs, and I'm seeing properties for sale that are moving a lot longer. I'm seeing a lot more. The last one is, and this one's kind of a tough one because it's very anecdotal in a sense, but if you watch the ads, if you drive around, if you listen to those, you know, swap and sell and tradio programs on the radio, you're hearing a rather dramatic increase in moving sales, or the equivalent, people getting out and trying to get a little cash to get out with. And I wondered how all of those are factored in. Thank you.
Neil, you want to give it a shot?
Yeah, I think that's touched upon a lot of sort of big issues and sort of interesting issues. Now, the wood heat one, you're right, that probably gets masked a lot, although, you know, and the people who are cutting that wood were not probably counting very well as far as jobs go. But as far as income flow goes, it probably gets captured somewhere. I think your last one was interesting. The idea of moving. We hear so much news about what's happening in the rest of the country now. It's really hard not to see anything through that veil right now. Wherever we go to stores, restaurants, and we sort of interpret what's happening there with what we think is happening. I think sometimes we overinterpret it. But we personally believe, because this recession is so broad and relatively deep in the rest of the country, there's not a lot of places for Alaskans to go. And in fact, I believe that we could see some stronger gains in population this year, because fewer Alaskans will probably leave because the grass is not very green on South. And we've seen this before. And my guess is we're going to see a growing number of people coming to Alaska looking for work. In fact, I suspect a lot of people are beginning to hear from their relatives and friends that they haven't heard from for years, calling them, asking them about what the job picture is like up there in Alaska, because I think there is this general feeling that the job market and the economy in Alaska is probably a little bit better than wherever they're calling from, places like California, which are very large states with very large labor force that have some connection to Alaska. Now, for Kenai specifically, that's interesting. Kenai has actually been gaining population very, very slowly, as the state has. So it's a mixed picture, but you know, that's going to be really interesting to see what happens to migration as a result of what happens to the economy. I think Mark already talked to the real estate. I forget what your second point that you were talking about was also sort of an interesting one as well. That would
he's gone
into the bigger
contract
issue. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But was what?
I think it was contract jobs in the oil.
Oh, contract jobs. Yes, and you know, I think that's a very important point, because Mark and I have been talking about the very strong growth in the oil industry during the last 3 years. This year, in 2008, we saw a record number of people working on the oils in the oil patch, and that includes all, both contractors and direct oil industry workers. But we do expect that to slow down this year. So those stories, I'm not surprised that you're beginning to hear more of those stories.
So all over Alaska, people are going to hang up the phone and turn to their spouse and say, guess what? Uncle Louie's coming up here. I hope he's not living with us. Let's get Mark Edwards in here, and then we'll go to Ian in Kodiak, who wants to talk about the deficit.
Sure. I was just going to say, interestingly, the state unemployment rate is about 7.5%. So there always will be people with unemployment stories. But once again, in the larger areas, Fairbanks and Anchorage, we're seeing unemployment rates at 6.9%, and in Fairbanks, and only 5.9% in Anchorage. And that's compared to the U.S. average of 7.2%. So once again, relative to the rest of the nation, we're doing better. It doesn't mean to say that the people that are displaced from their jobs are not going through a tough time right now. As it relates to real estate, it's also, again, we can only really track as economists what statistics are available. So the multiple listing services in the larger metropolitan areas like Anchorage and Fairbanks, if you can call them that, the Bureau of Labor Statistics does call Anchorage that. But they actually track the number of inventory in the housing market, the number of units sold, the number that are listed. And what we've seen is actually a decrease in the number of listings in Anchorage and Wasilla and an increase in Fairbanks. But overall, those things can be tracked, not to say that in other parts of the state there may be different factors influencing them, like we talked about the regional economies earlier. But because we don't have specific statistics that we can track year over year in some of the smaller parts of the state, the local governments either choose not to do it, or the local industry sector doesn't track it. So we can only talk in once again, generalities of statewide numbers.
Okay, once again, I'm your host, Michael Carey, here at Talk of Alaska. We're at 1-800-478-8255 or 550-8422. I'm with Neil Freed of the State of Alaska and Mark Edwards of the North Rim Bank. And right now we have Ian, who is in Kodiak.
Okay, good morning.
Good morning.
It sounds like you're describing the economy as it is right now. But looking ahead, we have a big federal budget deficit. We have a big federal savings deficit. We have entitlement problems with baby boomers retiring. It seems to me that the federal dollars are going to diminish. Not only that, but our oil is running out, and it's not the right kind of fuel. It's not clean and renewable, and our fisheries are in trouble. So it just doesn't seem like what you're describing, the economy you're describing, is going to be what we need to be addressing. I think in 5 years we may be. What are we doing to prepare for less federal dollars, less oil and coal and fisheries dollars? And that's my question.
Neil Freed.
Well, you know, I think, I mean, they're very valid comments. I mean, the federal dollar and the, you know, we expected federal dollars actually, federal dollars flattened out for the last couple of years. If you adjusted them for inflation, they actually declined slightly. We would have expected that decline to continue in 2009 and 2010, but then the stimulus package came along. So that may put it out a number of years. But in the long term, yes. I mean, we all know that that's a huge, huge concern both for the national economy and for Alaska's economy, especially Alaska's economy. When you think that, you know, over a third of our economy is tied to federal dollars, we have to worry about that. The same with the oil. I mean, I think your point was well taken. Oil production has been declining, but there are, you know, bright potential spots out there to replace at least some of that activity, such as a gas line, such as OCS activity, and other types of activity. And on the fishery side, I would have to argue with you on that point a little bit. In fact, our employment tied to fisheries, especially the processing side, has actually increased, and that part of our industry appears to remain relatively healthy and stable.
Okay. Thank you very much, Ian. Let's get Morris in here, who's been waiting a long time. And first of all, Morris, if you could tell us where you are. Morris, are you there? It looks like we lost Morris. Okay. Mr. Edwards, you want to comment on some of what you've heard here?
Sure. I like the last caller's perspective on the long-run approach. I think it's really important. We've been generally talking about 2008 and 2009 short-run economic issues, but it is important if you're an investor or if you're an economist, thinking in the long run will certainly help. I think we do have quite a bit of energy resources still to be developed in the state. I mentioned earlier the potential for ANWR, NPRA, offshore, the gas line. We certainly could have many more decades of prosperous energy development in the state. It's just a matter of being able to access those resources and legally produce them has been the main issue. But as for federal dollars, I agree with you completely that in the long run, these budget deficits are troubling, and we do have to realize that spending is not going to always be there. So one of the things we can do is become more self-supportive with our energy development. And I think the fisheries is goes through ebbs and flows, not to make a pun there, but the things we can do are try to improve the quality of the product, really market it and sell it internationally as a superior niche product to farm fish, try to get more dollar out of every fish, because we have a very good sustainable fisheries in the state, and we do use good science to manage it. And it's just a matter of trying to maximize the dollar value of the product we can, try to sell more of it fresh when it's worth more rather than freezing or canning it, and really improving our international marketing of the product. That'll help get more value-added net worth to the state from our fisheries.
Thank you very much, Mark Edwards. We're now going to go to our second break. When we come back, we're going to hear from Tom, who's been waiting in Anchorage.
Talk of Alaska comes to you from APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network, and is made possible with support from First National Bank Alaska, the local bank with nearly a century of business experience in Alaska, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Michael Carey. I'm here with Neil Fried of the Department of Labor and Mark Edwards, an economist with North Rim Bank. Tom is here in Anchorage. He's waiting on the line. And Tom, have at it.
Yes. Good morning, gentlemen. I wanted to take issue with the concept of environmentally responsible oil development. I think some of you may remember a little thing called the Exxon Valdez oil spill, as indication that oil development may not be as environmentally responsible as touted. And, you know, that extends, although there's been a lot of equipment bought since then, it's really not designed for use in Alaska conditions. And for it to be effective at all, there would have to be minimal tidal exchanges and no Alaska current and very, you know, flat, calm waters for it to be effective. And for oil spill response in ice-covered or broken ice conditions, I went to a conference in 2003 on oil recovery of oil in ice, and I proposed the use of some technologies that were very mature. And it was deemed feasible to engineer it for use in Alaska. And when BP was asked well, how many of these units do you want? The response was, well, DEC gives us an exemption from the oil spill regulations when there's more than 10% ice on the water, so we really don't have to buy it. So I see that as a problem for offshore development on a north slope, Chukchi, Bristol Bay, and that could threaten our very rich fisheries and subsistence uses of those resources. So I was wondering whether, in fact, there would be some further investigation here regarding what would be environmentally responsible for development of oil resources.
Those are very important issues, but I really think they're for another show. What we're trying to do here is take an overview of the economy and some of its potential problems. But let's go to Matthew, who's also been holding on in Fairbanks. We want to get all our callers in if we possibly can. Matthew.
Hey there. Thanks for having me on your show. Yeah, I wanted to have a couple different points, but I'll try to be brief and then let the your guests address them, hopefully. But one question I had is, we've talked a lot about oil and gas, but it's my understanding that mining employment as a share of employment has grown tremendously in the last few years, outstripping the contribution from oil and gas as far as that's concerned. Maybe not in absolute terms, but as a share of employment. And what do changes in commodity prices, mainly them tanking overall, mean for Alaska's economy as we go forward? So in other words, a discrepancy over the 2008 numbers and then what Alaska has to look forward to in the next few years. And then just after that, two brief comments, basically the discrepancy in GDP. Now, I assume you're using some sort of overall GDP number, and, you know, that accounts for things in exploration and mining, development, and BP, et cetera, their contributions to the economy. But we obviously have you've talked a little bit about the regional discrepancies between Anchorage and then Imonic, which has been in the news in the last few weeks. It's hard for me to sit and listen to this conversation and say, yeah, overall, the economy is pretty healthy, and it might be in numbers, but as you break it down into real human terms, there are parts of Alaska that are extremely disparate conditions and quite poor conditions, and we don't seem to be addressing that today enough. And then finally, I wonder about Alaska as a frontier resource. I don't want to say colony, but dependence on our resources. That's well and good, and I realize it has a part to play in the economy. But I wonder, is there room for or people thinking about in the economic world and the powers that be in Alaska about more of an indigenous business incubation? We can harness the internet for economic growth in rural areas, potentially, instead of just a reliance on commodity prices, et cetera. Okay, sorry to be so long-winded.
All right, I'm going to get Neil Frieden here. I just want to note one thing, and I saw this for myself. Personally, if you go to Manhattan, you can go to Lower Manhattan and see the great engines of American capitalism, the offices where Bear Stearns and the rest of these great corporations were and did well and did bad. And an easy subway ride to the Bronx, you can see sites that will chill your blood about the way some people are living. So it's not just Alaska that has these conflicts and these regional or local economies that are very, very different. Anyway, Neil, take it away.
I just want to just address a few points. On the mining issue, and as far as mining goes, yes, mining's been very dynamic during the last 4 or 5 years. We've had a couple of new mines that have come online. They represent good jobs. They're typically in more rural regions where opportunities don't exist they exist in far fewer number. They're non-seasonal, you know, so that has been a dynamic sector, but it still represents a much smaller slice of the economic pie than oil. You know, again, estimates of, you know, figure about 3%, mining generates about 3% of the jobs in the state, and oil represents, and oil, when I talk about oil, I'm talking about oil revenues, taxes that the oil industry pays, the direct oil industry activity, and even some of the throw-offs from the permanent fund when I say that about 30% of our economy is tied to oil. You know, as far as commodity prices, that's a very interesting one that everyone is wondering about. I think one of the fortunate things when we look at commodity prices And our mining industry in the state is, most of our mining industry is tied to gold production. And gold production and gold prices, you know, are doing relatively well compared to most other commodity prices. You have Red Dog, which is out there, and zinc prices have fallen dramatically, but they've been through tough times before. And, of course, you have Healy, the coal, and that operation is not likely to change very much. You know, and just one other thing, you know, as far as resource development, that is one place that Alaska has a comparative advantage relative to most of the rest of the world. So my guess is that will remain important, but lots of other industries and lots have grown and developed. In fact, I'd argue during the last 20 years, most of our growth in the state has been on the service side of our economy and not in our basic sector. And in other words, a dollar now rolls around a lot more, has a much higher multiplier effect today than it did 20 years ago because of growth in other sectors of our industry besides the federal government, oil, and those that we normally talk about. And, you know, again, talking about Emonic and that whole region, yes, we're very well aware of that. You know, income in Emonic is less than half of what it is in average Alaska. Unemployment is more than triple. Those are not new issues. Those have been with us for a long, long time.
Okay, I want to try and get everybody in here we possibly can. John in Palmer has waited a long time. John?
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Just want to get your guest's response to an idea I have that might partially explain why we have so few subprime mortgages in the state, and that's the existence of our ban on prepayment penalties on loans. My understanding is that a lot of subprime loans issued in other states so that they could get bundled and sold off. You know, they had an initial low teaser rate, then it's designed for the rate to go up, but they had high prepayment penalties so people couldn't refinance out from under the loan. And you can't do that if you have a state-regulated bank in Alaska. And I was just curious to know what impact this regulation or law might have had on reducing subprime mortgages.
Mark, do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, I'm certainly not an expert on the regulations nationwide, but I do agree with you that seems to be one of the things that would keep people from refinancing and changing. So it sounds like a good theory on the face of it, not one that I've studied before. But certainly I think we just didn't undertake as many risky loans, and therefore our economy did not suffer from some of the same mortgage meltdown. But at the same time, the real demand on the residential side, it comes from population growth and per capita income growth. Those are the real drivers that allow people to pay for their mortgages and keep the demand and meeting the number of people buying homes stable. So regionally, we have seen some movement in and out of certain cities, but statewide, we have seen growth in population. That just means more customers demanding houses. So on average, things have been stable. We don't see emigration out of the state and large layoffs like we're seeing nationally from some of the large companies affecting certain economies. One thing I'd like to do quickly before the show ends is to let you know that I have written an Alaska Economic Overview Report. This is the third one that I've done for North Rim Bank, and it's available on our website at www.northrim.com. And it's about a 16-page report. I try not to do too much of my own opinions, but mainly it's a statistical compilation of a lot of these different indicators in a very large number of industries that's available.
We have to say goodbye. They can find it on the website. This is your host, Michael Carey. I've been here with Neil Fried of the Alaska Department of Labor and Mark Edwards. He's an economist professional with the North Rim Bank. Annie Feit's been our producer. Steve Heimel will be returning next week, and he will have a show for you. I'll be gone, but Steve will take care of business. Thank you all for joining us, and thank you for making it a good show.
Talk of Alaska is made possible by this member station of the Alaska Public Radio Network, by ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company, Views expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of APRN, this station, or its underwriters. Today's program is available online at aprn.org. CD copies are available by calling 550-8400.
This is APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network.